Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life. I hope you got the air conditioner running. Or get outside. If you got a swimming pool, do that. Or do like we did when we were kids. Turn the hose on. Run around the sprinkler. Your neighbors think you're weird, but that's all right. The program today is about waste. And the TV series is called Scraps. And it's such a brilliant idea. There was a lot of people involved. Of course, Katie Kirk as the executive producer of the show. And she and my guest, Joel Gamron, Chef Joel Gamron, who is the national chef for Sur La Table, put together this series of taped shows that, again, the next one is tomorrow night, Sunday night. It's on the FYI channel, and if you have Cox or AT&T U-verse here in Wichita, you can get it. But more importantly, you can go online and see previous issues. And Joel, before we talk about your road trip, Is it looking pretty good for another 10-week round?
I hope so, Guy. I hope we're in the discussions right now with the network, and the ratings were great. It's just about if it all works out. But fingers are crossed, and we should hear back pretty soon.
Well, you know, and I'm sure that it adds cost and time to your life to be on the road to do this. And I think you could probably do a different spin on it in an in-studio environment, you know, and have different chef guests and things like that. But I'm afraid, having watched several of the episodes, you've set the bar high with the road trip aspect.
You got to do the road trip, right, Guy? I mean, come on, you got to take the road show. And the idea is we got to go across the country and get people excited about scraps. And so, you know, being in a studio, we can't do that. So I'm with you. I want Pippi. I want to hit the road.
Yeah. And did you drive the VW van the whole time?
Oh, yeah. God. We found that thing. It was reclaimed in a barn, and no one used it for the past 40 years.
Wow.
And we got it fixed up. And unfortunately, she couldn't drive the entire way. So we would carry her on a little pickup truck from city to city. And then when we were in the city, I would drive her around the city. And she held up great. A couple of snafus, nothing crazy.
Yeah. Well, but then the cool part is the kitchen on the back. That putting that together had to be kind of a lot of fun.
Oh, man, dude. We're going to make it even bigger for season two. And we really want to, you know, the kitchen off the back is very scrappy, than the least right now. It's very rustic and almost like a camping kitchen. But we want to make it kind of build it out. We want to cook for more people right now. Each episode we cook for about 12 people, but we got to cook for like 20, 30. We got to get you there, Guy.
You got to come to Wichita. What I think would really be fun, I started our chapter of the American Institute of Wine and Food here, and while I'm not directly involved anymore, we still do a lot of great events. And building a wine dinner, a scrappy wine dinner.
Let's do it.
I mean,
I'm not even kidding. Let's do it. I will make it one of the episodes next season. But here's my question. What scraps does Wichita have? I mean, what do people cook around there and then normally throw away?
Well, think of it. We're in the heart of beef country, okay?
Yep.
So I'm sure that there is beef waste in some of our fine restaurants. And that we have great farmers markets and great fresh produce, and you know how that is. Like you said, buy four avocados, use one, and pitch the others, you know? And so, no,
the best beef scrap? You know what's just incredible with beef is everyone throws away the beef fat, you know, in the pan. And people think it's more unhealthy than butter, more unhealthy than olive oil or canola oil. Just clean beef fat. Like if you cook a piece of steak in a pan and the fat left in the pan,
yeah.
Oh, my God. You toss your potatoes in that or you cook an omelet in that, game over.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I think it's so cool. I just read an article. I think I followed a link from Facebook, and it was a guy talking about just that, about how margarine and these synthetic things that we came up with and quote unquote low fat to make you lose weight is almost like counterproductive, because in the 60s when low fat was the government's cherished idea of dietary fun, suddenly we started turning into the human Hindenburgs walking around drinking 44-ounce totally. Sodas, you know. And
totally.
All right, so
100%.
If you were serious, I am absolutely serious, and I'll do whatever I can here to find locations and people and food product, and we'll put together a fun thing, man.
This thing's recorded, man, so okay. I will go back to the producers, assuming there's a season two. Let's see if we can flush out of Wichita, but I'm interested.
Yeah, it'll be great. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the road trip, and I'd love to hear your take on every stop, because I watched the first three anyway. Highlights and things that caught you by surprise, or that you thought really made an impact with the folks you were dealing with as you were on the road.
Yeah, so number one is we live in New York, and when we were building the show, we were all in New York, and so we were trying to plan out, okay, what are local scraps in Charleston or in Santa Fe or in Sonoma, California? So we had limited access. And when we actually landed there and we decided, you know, we had a host, kind of a co-host in each city, we were really surprised on how close we were to which local scraps, but also how much more there was that we completely missed. Every city we meet up with a different chef or someone who's just an amazing cook. So one thing we really wanted to do is not just meet up with the same chefs that you see on TV. We're not meeting up with the Bobby Flays or the Mario Batali. We wanted to meet up with someone who's a little under the radar and who's already championing food waste. So big surprises were in Santa Fe. You know, like, I didn't realize chilies were such a big deal there. And it's an insane – there's this whole thing about chilies. If they look weird, if they don't look up to – the correct standard, they'll never get sold. And it was this huge issue that we had no idea about until we landed in Santa Fe, and then we changed the whole show. I mean, we literally had to put chilies in there on the fly. We had about a day to figure it out, and it was crazy. A lot of our locations that we thought we booked, you know, it's an outdoor cooking show, so there were storms and rain. We had to completely, you know, switch on the fly. I wish we had a camera doing behind the scenes, because it was insanely scrappy and crazy, but we got it done. And man, America is so beautiful. I've never been to New Mexico. I've never been. There's parts of Sonoma I've never been. Asheville, North Carolina. Who would have thought?
Oh, that? Yeah.
Gorgeous. Yep. And the food scenes in these places, guy. Oh my God. That's why Wichita, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, there's these places that are a little under the radar right now, but they're just killing it with food.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned something that is so important. If you're in the food service business, as much as you want to be creative and please your guests, you always, if you're a talented chef or somebody in the kitchen, has to be looking at the bottom line and how we order, when we order, you know, and somebody's looking at the back door when product comes in. And even right there, I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad had he had a Morton's Steakhouse before Morton's existed, okay? It was called the Matador. And
nice.
And he was such – I mean, people thought he was weird because he was such a stickler for quality. And he'd go through and make me go through and look at damn near every head of lettuce that came in a box, every fresh produce that came. And, you know, he'd tell me, oh, look, see, this is not the best quality. Or these didn't get produced properly. They're so small and starting to show age. The radishes are a little shriveled, you know, and he wouldn't accept stuff like that. And I think that, to me, from the consumer's perspective, watching the series, there's all kinds of things that we can learn, even if it's something as simple as use it in a compost heap if you have.
Oh, totally.
You know, you don't have eat everything.
Yeah, we had this whole plan when we were going to Portland, Oregon, of what the three scraps we were going to highlight, and one of them was not coffee grounds. But if you've been to Portland, Oregon, or the Pacific Northwest, you know coffee is huge. And we went into a coffee shop, and we saw bags, guy. I mean, I'm not talking like grocery bags. I'm talking giant gallon bags, 10 to 12, of used coffee grounds. And with Starbucks and everything, I can't even imagine how many coffee grounds go to waste. But they're amazing in your yard. And I'll tell you, we made a rub for a piece of pork with coffee and chili, a little bit of brown sugar, this coffee, gorgeous smoky coffee rub. killer. So totally agree with you. And, you know, if coffee shops saw the value in it, they could use it in their pastries. They could use it in their baked goods. So, you know, a lot of people are starting to do it. You'd be surprised. It's kind of becoming in vogue to cook with things that are normally getting thrown away.
Yeah, it's just so cool. How about this? We have a lot of craft breweries here in Kansas now.
Oh, nice.
And
oh, yeah.
I love the segment. Tell us about using some of the byproducts of craft brewing and what you did with that.
Yeah. So all the grain after a beer is made, right, a giant vat of beer, usually gets wasted. 5% of the time it gets composted or sent to cows to eat. But it's called spent grain. And if you dry out the grain in the oven for about 5 hours on the lowest setting, you actually have this really dry grain, and you can grind it, and you can make flour out of it. And we realized that it actually tastes like beer. It's like beer flour. So now we have like this, you know, normal thing that gets thrown away. But now that all these cool guys, all these companies are popping up in Brooklyn and Los Angeles, a lot of really cool companies, and they're making beer flour. They're using the spent grain. They're making cool pastries and cakes. And it's a whole different type of cooking. Now, in the flip side of that, which is crazy, a lot of people, this is really nuts, are going around to bakeries for stale bread, and they're making beer out of stale bread. Because if you think about it, stale bread is just grain. So there's this one beer called Toast, and literally it's just made out of stale bread, and it's killer.
Well,
so
see,
it's interesting.
That's so cool. We have a brewery out in Western Kansas, and it's called the Liquid Bread Company. So yeah.
Oh, that's doing the same thing, or what do they do?
No, it's just it's a takeoff on the fact that the grain is what makes beer.
Totally.
So it's called Liquid Bread. You know. So
I didn't know that beer was such a big thing over there in Wichita. That's awesome.
You know, it started here shortly after I got here. River City Brewery was the first in Wichita, and I started the Midwest Beer Fest here in Wichita, and which is a hugely successful second only to the Denver Great American Beer Fest as far as attendance and number of beers. And we have more craft breweries now than I ever, in my most optimistic view, ever would have imagined. Some of the brewery clubs, you know, guys that have been doing homebrew forever, you know, got partners, collected up money, switched jobs, and suddenly there's breweries popping up everywhere. It's just so cool.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And think about all the grain that gets thrown away. Anyone who's listening to this show, if you go to one of these local brewers and you ask them for their spent grain, ask them for, like, you know, 10 cups and just go at home, dry it out in the oven, and try and make something new. You will be surprised. And they'll give it to you for free because there's no way they're going to charge you for that. That's going right in the way.
That's so cool. You did Sonoma. And then I got to think, you know, vineyard managers, winemaking, production facilities are prone to use everything they can. But generally what they do with the grape pumice, the leftover must, if you will, after it's been pressed, and is use it for fertilizer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, it's redistributed. It's dried a little bit and then spread out in the vineyard because it's made up of the skins and seeds and the must once all the juice is out. But I got to think there'd be something else fun you could do with that.
Oh, see, that would be mouth is watering right now thinking about what we can do with grape must. I know that seems weird to people listening, but this is what I think about all the time right now. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
In Sonoma, we did tops of strawberries. You know, when you cut a strawberry, the greens off the top, we made a really good granita, a little frozen dessert out of those. Mm. And, you know, the bottoms of asparagus that you click off because they're a little woodsy and stringy?
Yeah.
We made a soup out of those. If you grind them up, you can make a soup. And every recipe in the world tells you to take the bottom of the asparagus and throw it away.
Yep.
Sonoma, man, is a beautiful, what a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
Incredible food.
The asparagus thing is interesting because I have chewed on some just to see how that would be. And, you know, then it becomes a texture issue more than anything else. Did the soup that you made from the bottoms of asparagus taste like asparagus?
Yeah, it tastes exactly like asparagus, and it's like literally a third of the asparagus that we're cutting off and throwing away. And what's interesting about this guy, and you grew up in the food industry, chefs know this. You know, chefs watch the show, and they go, duh, you know, we've been doing this for years. It's home cooks who maybe didn't know that, and it's not their fault. It's just, you know, professional cooks were trained and were taught to look at their ingredients like this, and home cooks never really got their chance. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to see the little light bulb moment.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, look, can you stay through one more break? We got to promote how people can learn more, how they can do the online cooking classes that you've put together, and how they can watch previous episodes. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Chef Joel Gameron. It's called Scraps. If you just Google Scraps, you'll find a lot of information. But we'll give you some links, and there's links posted at goodlifeguy.com. You got to learn about some of this stuff. We'll be right back. Don't go away, man. I'll come find you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.